Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 16 to 20. Hebrews chapter 6, we'll be reading verses 16 to 20, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 16 to 20. Thank God for our elder and our musician and our drummer. Amen. Amen. When you get there, Hebrews chapter 6, somebody say amen. Amen. Verse 16, Hebrews chapter 6. I'm reading again from the New Living Translation. It says, "Now when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding." Don't miss that. "God also bound himself," verse 17, "with an oath, so that those who receive the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible," listen, "for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us." Verse 19, "This hope is strong and trustworthy. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek." I want to talk around the thought, the idea, which is probably going to be at least a two-part message. There's too much in here to get through here today. I want to talk around the thought, hope anchored in the Lord. Hope anchored in the Lord. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we acknowledge your peace, your presence, and your lordship this morning. Lord, we are looking to you, the author and finisher of our faith, to meet us at our point of need this morning. Some of us are hurting. Some of us are crying out to you. Some of us are in despair. Whatever the case may be, God, touch your people right now in the name of Jesus, as only you can. Bless us. Convict, convince, and convert. You get glory, praise, and honor to yourself. We say yes to your will, yes to your word, and yes to your way. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray with thanksgiving always. And all of God's people said amen and amen. Hope anchored in the Lord. Everybody needs hope. Can I get a witness? Hope allows us to feel the pain and then work toward healing. Hope keeps us from getting stuck in a feeling of helplessness and despair. For without hope, all of us are in trouble. Am I right about it? Did you know that negative things happen when people lose their hope? Are you listening? For example, just recently, a few days ago, I heard of people who may have lost their hope because of major flooding and constant rain falling down on the boroughs and the streets of New York City, Manhattan, and other places. People have a tendency to lose hope when destruction such as that occurs. It's not just New York, but other parts of the country. Damage has been substantial. When married couples lose hope, they give up on their marriage. When parents and grandparents lose hope, they give up on their rebellious sons and daughters and grandchildren. When you lose hope, when leaders lose hope, they give up on their people. When some church members don't see their church filled with people who say they love the Lord and yet don't give their fair share to support their church and their pastor, they lose hope. When people in general lose hope, normal emotions are replaced with the toxic emotions of confusion, shame, fear, worry, and disappointment. Understand that without hope, it's impossible. Y'all hear me good. Without hope, it's impossible to be spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, or relationally healthy because you're gripped by discouragement. Am I doing all right so far? One man said that discouragement, the lack of courage, willingness, or unwillingness, or inability to face up to adversity, is the tool that the devil uses on a person just before he reaches in and tries to snatch the hope out of your heart. Discouragement is the devil's tool. He wants to hit you where it hurts, in your heart. I repeat, when people lose hope, they lose their ability to dream of the future. Notice also that when people lose their hope, despair replaces joy. Fear replaces faith. Talk about when people lose their hope, anxiety replaces prayer. Insecurity replaces confidence. Tomorrow's dreams are replaced by nightmares. It's a sad way to live. As I laid in bed last night and early this morning, thinking about this message on hope anchored in the Lord, the enemy tried to mess with my mind. You're going to preach on hope? If I was you, I wouldn't preach on hope because you got stuff going on in your life. God that let you down, and I quickly told him you're a liar that you are. God is faithful. Our God is trustworthy. Oh, I wish I had somebody. He's the same God that blessed us yesterday. He's the same God that's keeping us today. And he's the same God we're going to rely on tomorrow. That's why I believe somebody in here and out there needs to listen attentively. It's absolutely necessary that you hear and be encouraged this morning. Talking about hope anchored in the Lord this morning and every morning. Well, what exactly does hope anchored in the Lord mean? I hear you. What does that mean? Well, first of all, you need to understand that hope is more than just wishful thinking. The Bible says, we just read it, tells us that we find hope, listen, when we flee or run to God for refuge. We quote it all the time, God is our refuge, a very present help in the time of trouble. But some of us don't run to God when we get in trouble. We run away from. That's what the devil wants you to do. We're not supposed to run or hide from God when troubles come. Because first of all, it's impossible to hide from God. He can see a black ant on a black rock at midnight. He knows your thoughts even before you can think them through. I heard somebody say, I'm not a mind reader. Well, God is. Y'all ain't hearing me. You and I may not be a mind. God knows what you're thinking about now, what you're going to eat later on. What's that got to do with hope? Where am I going when I leave here? What's that got to do with hope? Who am I going to kiss later on? What's that got to do with hope? We're not just talking about hope all by itself. Are y'all with me? But we're talking about hope that is anchored or secured in the Lord. Now I understand usually when we think of an anchor, we picture a device, usually a metal, attached to a ship or a boat by a cable or chain and lowered down into the bottom of the river to hold that vessel in a particular place or position. Am I right about it? I said usually when you think of an anchor. But from a Christian perspective, an anchor symbolizes constant faith, unwavering, unmovable belief, hope, and love. It's non-negotiable. It's dedication and a firm hope in Christ. Are you with me? Notice in verse 19, we read it, of our text. This hope is described as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul that fixes itself in the solid reality of God's presence. The hope that we're talking about this morning is the kind of hope that is convinced beyond a shadow of doubt of the presence of God. The hope that I'm talking about means that no matter where you are, spiritually located, geographically located, wherever you are, God is there. Hello, somebody. When you go into a hideaway, God is there with your hideout. When you do things in secret, God sees the things you do in secret. When you say things and you tell some people, don't tell nobody, God says, I got it. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for the soul. This hope, the Bible says, we just read it in verse 19, it leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Pastor, you lost me. Well, understand the operative word is hope. Got to understand that one of the key factors in living a fulfilled life is to have hope. See, with hope being attached to something or someone. Is God talking to anybody this morning? Is God shining his spotlight on somebody this morning? Understand that hope has to have an anchor. If you don't hear nothing else, you got to realize that your hope has to have an anchor. But then you got to check out what's your anchor. Y'all missing this. Hope has to be grounded in a source. A stable, unchangeable, unmovable object if it's anchored in the Lord. And with that being said, understand the significance of the anchor. I'm taking my time because I want somebody to hear what God is saying clearly today. Understand the significance of the anchor. You say, I don't need, yeah, you do need an anchor. In other words, when the captain of a ship replaces or reaches his destination, he lowers or puts the anchor down. He listens, strategically drops anchor. Not just anywhere, but he spied out the location already. And he wants to drop anchor in the most secure location. Because he doesn't want it to drift away. And end up, you know, when things drift away, they end up in unintended places. Unsafe places. Bad locations. Somebody said, when they got questioned, why did you do that? Why did you go with him? Why did you go with her? Well, I was just minding my business, but your anchor was not secure. You were in the wrong place with the wrong people or person doing the wrong things. I'm talking about hope anchored in the Lord. Even if the winds and waves come, the captain is not worried because his anchor is down. He knows the ship won't drift any significant distance away. His anchor, his faith is solid. He doesn't have to worry because he knows that as long as his anchor is down, dug in deep, he can be confident that his vessel will remain secure. Who is God talking to this morning? The storms have moved you. But if your anchor is dug in deep, no matter what or who the storm is, you won't move away. Because your anchor, you're anchored in the Lord. We know that hope is the anchor of our soul because we already read it in verse 19. The anchor is what keeps our soul and our emotions, our feelings, and our spiritual integrity in the right place. Hello, somebody. We may get bent a little out of shape. But if your soul is anchored properly, it won't bend and give in. That's right. If our anchor is down, deeply embedded, firmly fixed, and hooked into our hope, we won't give up or give in when the storms of life occur. But if our hope is not anchored, I gotta tell you this. If it's not anchored in the right place, in the right person, if it's not positioned properly, you'll drift into negativity, self-doubt, depression, blame shifting, you know it's his fault, her fault, bitterness, and you'll eventually lose sight of your purpose. An ultimate goal. You started out with a plan, but your plan was independent of God. And now your plan is falling apart, and you want to know where God is. And God said, you started out wrong. Your anchor precluded God, your place of anchorment. Verse 19 says, this hope is strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us, listen, through the curtain. What curtain? I'm going to tell you in a minute. Through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Verse 20 says, Jesus has already already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek? Who is Melchizedek? Understand that Melchizedek, whose name means King of Righteousness, was a king of Salem. And Salem comes from the Hebrew word meaning peace, and priest of the Most High God. According to Genesis, y'all get it down, Genesis chapter 14, 18 to 20. Read it when you get home. There's a whole lot more about Melchizedek. Because some folk question, was he a real person or was just, you know, this, that. But when God puts a name, it's a plan. He has a purpose. Verse 19 says, this hope leads us through the curtain or veil into God's inner sanctuary. Understand that the curtain or veil in verse 19 referred to the tabernacle's veil that separated the people of Israel from God's presence. In other words, Levitical priests were the only ones at that time able to pass through the veil to intercede to God on behalf of the people. But we know that now Jesus is our great high priest. In a way that is superior to the high priesthood of the whole Old Testament, because Jesus ministers in heaven itself. And remember, the job of the priest before the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus was to intercede on behalf of the people with God. That's before Jesus did all he did. But everything has changed because of Jesus. See, some of us don't know how blessed we are to have a relationship with Jesus. Some of us want to just call God and, you know, another this, that. But there's something about the name of Jesus. That's right. That's right. I dare you to call on that name. That's right. There's power in that name. That's right. There's mercy in that name. Yeah. There's healing in that name. There's deliverance in that name. There's confirmation in that name. There's holiness about that name. Y'all better hear God talking about hope anchored in the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16 says in verse 14, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. Verse 15 of Hebrews 4 said, this high priest of ours, he understands our weaknesses. For he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Don't act like Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly the pressure you feel. He knows exactly how stressed you are. He knows exactly what your enemies are doing. He knows exactly what people are plotting. He knows exactly what the system is doing. He knows exactly all about everything. He knows the pain you're feeling because he's been there, done that. Oh, is God speaking to anybody? Verse 16 of Hebrews 4 says, because we have Jesus, our high priest. Look at the benefit. So let us come boldly. We don't have to go through no religious dogma set up on this side. Because of our faith and trust, and because we belong to Jesus, we can go straight to God in Jesus' name. It says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Anybody need mercy and grace this morning? Anybody other than me need some mercy and grace? Talking about hope anchored in the Lord. The writer of Hebrews, listen, he compares our anchor, our hope, to an anchor. It's the thing that holds you firm in the worst kind of storm. I'm not here to tell you, you know, your storm is not bad. As far as I'm concerned, my storm is worse than yours. And you say, oh, no, you don't know my storm. No, but whatever it is, if you're anchored in the Lord, you're going to be all right. Just as an anchor keeps a ship steady during a storm, God has given us an anchor of hope to help us navigate the uncertainties of life. Everything is nothing for sure. No, I started out, me and my wife, on our way to church this morning. We hoped we would get here. But in between, there was a lot of traffic. In between, there was a backup. In between, there was something that could have kept us from getting here this morning. We were running a little behind time, but God plowed the way before us. He did that for you and you and you and you. You just didn't make it here all by yourself. I don't care if you walked here. God made a way out of no way. Understand, we learn some things about the anchor. I'm almost to a close for part one. Notice, first of all, what we learn is the empowerment of the anchor. Somebody ought to be taking notes. The empowerment of the anchor. Because when you leave here, or while you're sitting here, you're going to want to know, am I anchored in the Lord or something else? Let me tell you, you need to look at the empowerment of the anchor. See if you got any of this going on. Talk about empowerment. We're talking about the ability to achieve things that are seemingly impossible. But because of God's grace, it's possible. In other words, when Jesus is your anchor, my anchor, our anchor, we become empowered, listen, by his spirit to do all things through Christ who strengthens us, which strengthens us. I wouldn't have been able to make it if it had not been for the Lord. I wouldn't have been able to forgive my husband or wife if it had not been for the Lord. Y'all want me to fill in the blank. You wouldn't have been able to do what you did and have done if it had not been for the Lord. Y'all know that familiar passage, Philippians 4:13. For I, as you, me, I, Jimmy, I, you, can do everything. Everything that God wants you to do. Everything. Through Christ, who gives me strength. I can give out of my substance when I'm running low. If God says to give, because he's going to give me more. It means we have a hope that does not disappoint. When you're anchored in the Lord, we can be certain that death in the spiritual or physical sense will not hold you. Jesus, like Jesus, will be raised to a new life. Romans 5:5 says, and this hope, the hope we're talking about, will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly, I hope somebody knows this, I do, I'm trying to understand it. We know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. I think I mentioned last week's sermon. Every now and then the enemy will try to stifle my praise. Praise for me is one of my signature things. The crew, the old crew at Sharon back 25, 30 years ago, when they talked about Pastor Pointer, they identified me with praise to God. It wasn't something I was trying to earn a title or get accolades for. But praise was just what I did then. And praise is what I'm still doing now. You wouldn't know that I'm going through hell sometime because praise gives me a breakthrough. I know when I praise him, Eleanor, when the praises go up, when the praises go up, when the praises go up, the blessings, Pat, the blessings come down. Y'all gonna give me a few more minutes, then I'm gonna cut it off. Let me give you three reasons for an anchor from a human perspective. Some of y'all still talking about you worked at the Navy Yard when they dropped the anchor. I ain't talking about that anchor. I worked at the Navy Yard, they dropped the anchor, big steel thing, and shoot. Talking about that, somebody still talking about steel and metals and all that stuff. From a human perspective, one reason for an anchor is to avoid, y'all want to get this, a diminished hope. To avoid a diminished hope. Diminished means decreased, reduced, or weakened. You used to be on fire. Who is God talking to? You used to be on fire for the Lord. But ever since, or since that, stuff been happening. Things ain't been going right. Church ain't moving ahead like you think. Money ain't coming in like you thought it would. People ain't acting like they do, acting funny. Job ain't doing right. They passed me by a promotion when they know I should have got it. Mommy ain't treating me right. Daddy ain't treating me right. Daughter ain't treating me right. Son ain't treating me right. Grandchildren ain't treating me right. Everything's all messed up. The system is jacked up. From the White House to the poorhouse, everything's jacked up. Don't get me to talking. But the anchor will not allow you to be diminished to a degree that borders on surrender. Remember, we said that in the midst of life's storms, that an anchor provides stability. An anchor prevents you and I from being driven off course. Am I right about it? Let me give you this. I got to, let me pick at it just a minute more. Proverbs chapter 13. Verse 12, there's an A and a B portion. The A portion of Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. I'm going somewhere, y'all. Hope deferred. And of course, the B portion of verse 12 says, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. Biblical hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised. And its strength is in his faithfulness. I don't know who God is talking to, but you said he promised you when he promised you. And if God indeed promised you what you said he promised you, it's going to come through.
That's right.
Is anybody here with me today?
Yeah.
God promised me.
Yeah.
He revealed to me.
Yeah.
Some things about this here, his church.
Yeah.
It don't look like it, Ellen.
Yeah.
Chantella, it don't look like it. But God is faithful to his promise. He may have to wipe it out, to fill it back up.
Yeah.
And I must admit, Sister Darby, I don't always like the way God does things. Come on, is anybody else with me? Your marriage might be in shambles. Your boyfriend, girlfriend, that distant lover that you still waiting on to do the right thing. If God has promised, I said if conditional, that he gonna be right and do right, then it's gonna turn out right. Nobody likes waiting. Am I right about it?
That's right.
Anybody like me? I don't like the one. I'm sick and tired of waiting.
Yeah.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I didn't say I'm not going to wait because I can't. I got to wait. But anybody ever get sick and tired of waiting for God to do what he said or you thought he said he was going to do? When our expectations are delayed for a long time, sometimes you get disappointed, disillusioned, and you lose hope. I'm trying to close this thing. And in some cases, when you wait too long for what you desire, it can get you to a point of a lingering type sickness. I said hope deferred, y'all. That's what Solomon meant when he said hope deferred makes the heart sick. A heart sick means a sad, upset, very unhappy heart. Because things aren't happening or working out like you thought it should. It's taking too long. Any honest people in here? I think sometimes. Am I the only one? God just seemed to take too long. Notice the term deferred in the passage means to put off or to drag out, as in a long, drawn out process. Sometimes it seems like God is just dragging things along. Lord, why don't you just do what I know you can do? Fix it. Well, you need to know sometimes it's not that God don't want to fix it, but he won't fix it until he fixes you. Y'all missed it. You the holder. It's not God. You the one that's holding up your blessing. You're the one that knows why God ain't doing what he told you he's going to do. When you get right, then God will do what he told you he was going to do. Hope deferred can look like many things. A prayer of salvation for that one that continues unanswered. You've been praying for you know who, your son, your daughter, your granddaughter, your grandson, that they would get right. And ain't nothing happened. Hope deferred can be an agonizing job search. You're trying to get a certain job or promotion or position, and it ain't coming through. Hope deferred can be a long-term battle with cancer. Every time you think it's beaten, here they come, we see something else. Hope deferred can be a string of miscarriages.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to have a baby and it ain't nothing happening.
Yeah.
Hope deferred leads to a sick heart because a son, a daughter, a grandchild continues to rebel and pull you through hell. Hope deferred, that word heart in the passage embodies not only the mental or emotional core, but listen, it talks about the inward person.
Yeah. Yeah.
If something makes the heart sick,
yeah,
it causes despair,
yeah,
and affliction.
Yeah.
One translation says, when hope is crushed, the heart is crushed. Hope deferred can lead to depression,
yeah,
anxiety,
yeah,
actual physical sickness.
Yeah.
Yeah. In other words, when we wait for a good thing for so long that the desired expectation turns to hopelessness, we can become, here we go, spiritually drained. We talk about it in Bible study.
Yeah.
Or dry.
Yeah.
And vulnerable.
Yeah.
Listen to the enemy's attacks.
Yeah. Yeah.
As far as the enemy is concerned,
yeah,
when you get into a hopeless, helpless,
giving
up,
yeah,
don't trust God no more,
yeah,
position.
Yeah.
That's when he's coming at you.
Yeah.
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 A diminished hope.
Yeah.
You don't want to hang your hat on.
Yeah.
My hope is built.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On nothing less,
yeah,
than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but holy, holy, holy lead on Jesus' name. Give God some praise. That's part one.